Welcome back, everybody, to the Pack-A-Day Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Reminder that the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis is coming up next from 9 to 11. You're not going to want to miss that. Of course, our football coverage here on WSSP is presented by T-Mobile. Make sure to head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on an iPhone 16 Pro today. We are joined now by the one and only Tyler Brook. He, of course, is here on the Pack-A-Day podcast every other Monday with myself and Nathan Marzion. He's on the 33rd team. You can find him on Twitter at Tyler D. Brook. Tyler, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hey, good to hear from you, Andy. Always a pleasure talking ball with you.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to chat Packers, Texans in this one. We might have a couple other questions for you as well, but let's start with Packers, Texans. Obviously, that's one of the key marquee games. Even though it's a noon game, I'm still upset about that, but it's a noon game. It's a fun game this Sunday. Your keys to Packers, Texans, what you're kind of going to be watching in this one.
Yeah, so I think the number one thing I'm watching is just what's going on with the Texans defense and how the Packers can potentially exploit it. There's no denying that the Texans defense is incredible this year. They are number two by DVOA. But the problem that they're having right now, and, you know, we'll find out more today with their injury report, but they have a lot of guys that are potentially out for this game. Jimmy Ward and Kamari Lassiter are both out. They've had their two starting linebackers, Azeez Al-Shaair and Henry To'o-To'o, who have not practiced yet this week. One of their starting defensive tackles has not practiced this week. So, a lot of guys that might not play on that defense, and for such a talented defense, that could be a huge boon for the Packers. And regardless of who is playing, I think one of the more interesting notes about that defense is that they are kind of addicted to playing in nickel, so taking a linebacker out for a defensive back, you know, regardless of what the offense is throwing at them, whether it is two tight end sets, jumbo packages, you know, anything traditional, like they want to play in their nickel personnel. So all of that is telling me the Packers are probably going to run the football, going to set up play action and explosive plays in the passing game, especially, you know, if a couple DBs are already ruled out. But I think they're going to try and establish the run if those linebackers and defensive tackle can't go. And, you know, I think one of the quieter parts that no one's really talked about enough is that Josh Jacobs is top five in the NFL in rushing, having a really quiet, underrated year. So looking forward to that, looking forward to some more Emmanuel Wilson touches. I think he has made the most of his limited opportunities. So that's what I'm looking for on that side of the ball. Like I'm very encouraged by, you know, what we're seeing with Jordan Love playing under center. I think that helps with the run game. I think that helps with play action. So that's kind of the big thing I'm looking for. And hopefully we know more about, you know, who's available for the Texans later today.
Yeah, I think we're going to get that injury update or, you know, right around probably 3 p.m. today. But those injuries for Houston are going to play a major role in this one and whether some of those guys can go or not, especially on the interior of that defense. I'm so glad that you brought up the run game because Josh Jacobs in particular, because like you said, he's having a very underrated season. A lot of tough yards in there, too, that he is gaining where maybe it looks like 1 to 2 yard gains that he's getting 3 to 4. That's setting Green Bay up in positive situations. And I do think they can take advantage of the interior of that Texans defense the way that they're banged up. They've got a suspension in there, too. And I also love that you brought up the tendencies of this Houston Texans defense, because whether it's going nickel personnel and some of the things, like they just have things that they like to do regardless of who they're playing against. And I love that for Matt LaFleur because he knows how to pick apart just about anything. And when you get any sort of tendencies like that, like you said, playing nickel regardless of the situation, there's a very 49ers aspect to that. He's going to have a game plan for it. So I'm excited to see what Matt has up his sleeve for this Texans defense, regardless of whether or not some of those players are healthy. But if they're not, he's going to have some, I think, fun run stuff keyed up, maybe some stuff similar to what we saw against the Indianapolis Colts earlier in the year. Looking at some of the matchups in this one, what's maybe a matchup or two that you think is maybe going to...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
To decide this game or could have a huge impact on this game, or maybe one that you're just excited to watch?
I mean, that's a really good question. One thing I'm looking for is, who is Derek Stingley going to be lined up against?
Sure.
You know, we're talking about all the injuries, but I think Stingley, you know, still is quietly one of the better defenders in the league as far as cornerbacks go. He's averaging, or when targeted this year, only a 70.9 passer rating. He's never gone above 85 for a passer rating when targeted in a season in his 3 years in the NFL. So really, really talented player. You know, I'm curious to see who he's going against. Are they going to put him on different guys? And is Jordan Love going to throw his way? Especially with how banged up the rest of the secondary is. Do they want to pick on other guys, or they want to see, you know, they want to think that he's going to take it easy because, you know, he thinks they're going to throw elsewhere, and are they going to attack him? On the other side of the ball, I'm very curious to see more Edgar and Cooper. I think you know more than a lot of people that are probably listening how much I loved Cooper coming out of the draft, and my signature catchphrase, that boy fast. But would love to see how he is utilized this week, especially going against a running back like Joe Mixon, who, you know, is finally seems like he's fully healthy after that ankle injury earlier this year. Really big, really powerful running back. And as we've seen in flashes, Cooper has, you know, been a pretty solid tackler that's stopped a lot of yards after contact. So that's probably one of the bigger matchups I'm looking forward to. I've loved the ascension from Cooper. It feels like he's playing more and more each week. And, you know, obviously it's not always pretty. I think coverage-wise, he's still struggling a bit as far as getting into his right landmarks on zone drops. But in the run game, his eyes and his feel for getting around blockers and then just stuffing guys at the line of scrimmage, I've been a huge fan of so far.
Yeah, me too. He's been really, really fun to watch. It's interesting because when you kind of read between the lines in some of the press conferences, it maybe feels like they're wanting maybe a little bit more from like an alignment standpoint and some of the practice habits and things like that. But there's no question that he is making a massive impact out on the field. And when he is out there, you can feel his presence and his speed, his tenacity, his ability to get guys to the ground very quickly. It's a different brand of football than I think we've seen at that linebacker position. And right now, the impact that he's making is super important. There's the blitzing ability too from him, like his ability to get from the second level to the quarterback. There was a play last week where, again, Kyler Murray got the ball out of his hand, but he blitzed, he juked the running back out and was to the quarterback immediately. But it just so happened that again, unfortunately, the ball was out of Kyler's hands, but he gets there in an absolute blur, and he's gonna, I think, have a big impact. It's funny because I talked about just last segment of you know, Quay Walker, I think, needing a big game too. You talked about Joe Mixon. It is going to be so important that these linebackers are holding up front and not allowing Mixon to, you know, rip off some of these big runs, and just not allowing Houston to stay in advantageous situations. You don't want them in second and shorts, third and shorts. Got to find a way to get them in predictable situations, because even if they're predictable, even if it's third and 11, third and whatever, like CJ Stroud, this wide receiver group are a challenge enough even when you know it's coming.
Yeah, I agree. I think one of the bigger points, again, we're going back to injuries though, but no Nico Collins in this game is also massive. Like,
yep.
I think this year he was far and away, before he got hurt, the most efficient wide receiver in football. He was averaging like 3.2 yards per route run, which, if you don't know how that stat works, basically for every time he's running a route on a drop back, and then you're dividing those total routes by the number of receiving yards he had. Like, for every time he's running a route, he's getting 3.2 yards, even if he's not getting the ball. Like, that's crazy to me. That's an absurd number. He led the league by far and away. He was a massive, you know, deep threat, big body possession receiver. Not having that is massive. You know, obviously they still have Stephon Diggs, obviously still have Tank Dell. I feel like Jair matches up really well with Tank Dell. I'm not sure if they're going to put him in the slot outside, if they move him around, but just the body type-wise, I feel like that would be a really interesting matchup. And then I know some Packers fans don't want to hear this, but I've kind of loved Keyshawn Nixon on the outside.
Yeah,
I actually think he's been having quite a great year. One of my favorite stats I found as well is how they've dialed him up as a blitzer. He's had 5 pass rush snaps and generated a pressure on 4 of them. So they are very strategic about when they use him as a rusher. It's not often, but he's had a lot of an impact there. I know he's gotten picked on at times, but I think he's held his own well, especially since moving into the outside as of late and allowing Bullard to play nickel and then Evan Williams to play safety. I've actually really liked how the secondary is kind of growing and developing. It's a new scheme. Guys are still trying to figure things out. But I've absolutely loved how the secondary works. And without Nico Collins, I actually feel a bit better about this matchup.
Yeah, Nico Collins, you know, everyone has a different opinion on PFF grades, but Nico Collins, PFF's top graded wide receiver so far this season. So
deservedly so. He has been incredible.
Very much so. I want to talk a little bit more about that Jeff Hafley defense. I know you just kind of mentioned they're still kind of coming into their own. It is a new scheme. They're starting to try some new things like Keyshawn on the outside, Javon Bullard more in the slot, which opens up more time for Evan Williams at safety. You had mentioned it earlier, Edgerrin Cooper is getting more time at linebacker. Unfortunately, it looks like Devontae Wyatt's still probably going to be out for this week, but how have you seen this Jeff Hafley defense sort of start to gel, come together, and just kind of have that chemistry over the last couple games? And what maybe excites you about what they're doing right now?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing I've noticed, especially in the last few games, is adjustments, right? You know, they may have a specific game plan, and I always come back to that Vikings game where everyone thinks it's kind of a fluky comeback. When I went back and watched that, it just felt like his entire strategy at halftime flipped. And everyone's argument is always like, well, why don't you make those adjustments sooner? It's like, do you know how crazy a sideline is in the middle of a game? And he's up in the press box. He can't try and hand the headset individually to each player that's on defense and try and talk to them before they're back on the field. Like, this stuff takes time. He's got to meet with coaches. It's a chaotic time before halftime. So that's usually the best time you can actually make serious adjustments. So I've been very impressed with how he does that. I've started to like more of the third and long obvious passing down looks. They've gotten a little more creative with some of their pressure looks. You know, are they going to mug up one of Edgerrin Cooper or Quay Walker and have them walk up to the center? Are they going to, you know, have one of these NASCAR packages where it's all edges instead of D linemen out there? One of my favorite things about this defense, though, and it's not something that shows up in like metrics or anything like that run defense-wise, but I just love when there's a run to the outside. If you haven't paid attention, watch how the corners and defensive backs attack wide receivers that are trying to block and hold outside contain. Not something you saw in Joe Barry's defense. At least not the effort that you're seeing now. Like, you will watch them try and punch a wide receiver in the mouth to maintain that leverage. It's one of my favorite things about this defense. I think it really helps long-term in the run game, and I think it sets that demeanor, aggressive downhill attitude, and I think it's why the safeties are playing so well. As you know, these guys are attacking downhill, and if it's a mentality thing against blocks, now imagine when you're free and can go make a play on a ball carrier in open space.
Yeah, I really enjoy, especially, you know, we just talked about Keyshawn Nixon on the outside, like having his mentality on the outside adds that extra ingredient as well. You know, Jair's not the most physical, you know, dominant tackling corner on the outside, but when you have Javon Bullard in the slot, Keyshawn on the outside, Evan Williams and Xavier McKinney at safety, like, for the most part, your secondary is pretty much set up with aggressive tackling, physical, you know, willing dudes that are willing to come up and make those plays in the run game. Add in two super fast linebackers and Edgerrin Cooper and Quay Walker at linebacker. And I thought one of the things that just from being in the stands this past Sunday against Arizona, seeing Javon Bullard in the slot with Edgerrin Cooper and Quay Walker at linebacker, kind of the second level of that defense, man, the speed that they were just, you know, displaying out on the field and being able to get pretty much anywhere that they wanted to from point A to point B in a blur, it was really fun to see. And you could feel it. And just even when Kyler tried to get to the outside, there were a couple times where Javon Bullard would just, you know, fly over, even from the opposite side of the field to limit some of those runs. Again, the speed was very evident. When you've got corners on the outside that are willing to play a little bit more of that aggressive brand, it just sets everyone else up for success. And that is a kind of a key to what we've seen from this run defense so far.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed it. I'm very optimistic about the defense. Again, you know, box score numbers, all that outside of takeaways aren't as optimistic on the Packers defense. But, like, I see the vision, and I think come playoff time, it's going to really mess with a lot of these teams that have been so used to playing against these two high safety looks all year. Because the Packers do bring something visually different. And, you know, obviously we have a lot of young players on that defense that are ascending, and it's, you know, very exciting to watch their development so quickly.
Yeah, and I do think some of those, you know, mistakes that happened earlier in the season, like, you know, some of the things that were happening against Philly and some of the things that we saw against Minnesota early in that game, I think those are sometimes, I don't want to say they're like important, but like it's important almost to see some of your weaknesses so that you can clean it up and figure it out. It's not always easy, you know, even from just coaching youth sports and things like that, to always tell exactly what your flaws are going to be. And then you see them and you're like, oh, all right, well, we've got to get that fixed. And I think some of the things that they've done with moving Keyshawn to the outside, Bullard in the slot, Williams at safety, more Cooper at linebacker, just some of those things, like you can tell, like the chemistry's coming together. He's mixing and matching with the calculus a little bit, and it's starting to come out and be like, all right, I like what I'm seeing here. Let's jump to some non-Packers things just really quick, because this week was crazy with trades. We saw Devontae Adams. We saw Amari Cooper. We saw Cam Akers get traded. Like, we're usually not seeing this many trades prior to the trade deadline. I know you, though, were not a fan of the Devontae Adams trade. Tell us why.
Yeah, I wrote an article doing grades for, you know, there were four moves this week, kind of out of nowhere. You know, we're still a few weeks from the trade deadline. So if you want to go over to 33rd Team and read my trade grades from all of those moves, you can. But yeah, just I don't understand for either the Raiders or the Jets why that trade made sense. Like, I get that at some point the Raiders needed to move on from Davante Adams. But for the Jets' perspective, Tyron Smith needs to retire. You have offensive line issues. You can't get off the field on defense, and your solution was adding another receiver. And let's just say big picture, like, the trade works out, and they turn the season around. They make the playoffs. They make it to the divisional round, maybe the AFC championship, and then they lose. Like, what's next?
Yeah.
You are so over-leveraged contract-wise on all these guys this season. Aaron Rodgers is going to be 41 next year. You have extensions coming up for, like, Sauce Gardner and Breece Hall. And you still haven't addressed the offensive line because everyone that you just signed are all on short-term deals and they're aging veterans. Like, I get that you want to win a Super Bowl. That's not the move that's going to win it for you. I just didn't love it from there. But I think the worst one was the Raiders. A, why didn't you make this deal sooner? You should have made this in the offseason. And then B, if you are going to trade him in the middle of the season, why are you rushing before the deadline? What benefit does that have for your team now? They wanted a second-round pick and some extra, and instead they got a conditional third. Then the only way that turns into a second is if either Adams makes an all-pro, which isn't going to happen because he's missed too many games, or if they make the AFC championship, and that just seems highly unlikely. So I actually hate the trade more for the Raiders than the Jets, but I just don't think how it made sense for either team just feels like the Raiders rushing the process and the Jets kind of ignoring their actual issues.
Yeah, I think two things happened here. I think one, I think the Raiders were sort of fed up with the Adams situation and wanted to get it done with as soon as possible. I'm not arguing that that's a good way to do business, but I think they were ready to be done with that situation. And if it meant getting only a third instead of a second and knowing that maybe at least they could get a conditional, you know, second, even though it's probably not going to happen, I think maybe they were willing to take it just to have the saga sort of over with. And then I think from the Jet side, one of the things I always have to remind myself is we do not live in this altruistic NFL where everyone's trying to do the best thing long term for their teams and like the best thing what's going to, you know, like in this case, what's actually best for the Jets. They're trying to save their jobs. Like everyone's going to get fired if they do not even get to the playoffs, right? So I think they probably recognize and realize, yeah, Davante Adams to the Jets is probably not going to get them to the promised land. It's not going to be that trade that gets this done. They're probably too far just removed from what they actually need to be a completely successful team. But they're 2-4. And if this thing ends up, you know, 6-11 or 7-10, like everyone's gone. So I think this is the, we got to at least make it to the playoffs. And even if we get to the divisional round, we can say, look what we put together once we got Davante Adams, and maybe everyone is able to save some face there. But I think they are operating from, oh my goodness, we better do something or we're all going to be nuked sort of standpoint. Last question here. Actually, I have two really quick ones. One, talking about trades here. If the Packers were to make a trade prior to the deadline, is there a player or position that you think would be advantageous for Green Bay to attack?
Yeah, I think it's got to be edge. I know a lot of people are saying corner, but I actually kind of like the secondary they've got, and I want to see them kind of roll with it. I thought it was a little weird Carrington Valentine didn't get in any run last week, so you know, hoping to see more of him. But I think the secondary is actually in really good shape. It's got to be edge for me. Lucas Van Ness, I don't think, is playing up to what you need from a second-year guy that needs a, you know, kind of a breakout year. Rashawn Gary had a much better game against the Cardinals. Need to see more of that. But, like, you know, Preston Smith ain't getting any younger. You're going to need edge depth in a 4-3 defense, and the pass rush rate is just not where it needs to be. So, guys I'm looking at are kind of interesting. There's not great options. If you want another veteran that also has some run-stopping ability, I think Emmanuel Ogba with the Miami Dolphins. One name, though, that I think a lot of teams are going to be calling about, and if the Packers got him, I'd be surprised, but, you know, I wouldn't be mad about it. Azeez Ojulari for the New York Giants. Young guy on a rookie deal, has been flashing lately. He has flashes throughout his career as a pass rusher. Think he'd be a really fun fit as, you know, a third down guy to kind of generate some pressure. But outside of that, I don't think the trade market's as awesome as people think. I do think the Packers might be buyers. I just don't know where. It does feel like they have enough assets, resources, and it's a team that, you know, has really come together fast that maybe they do try to make a fringes move because they, as we've known, have done a great job pro personnel department-wise making these moves on the fringes. I always think of guys like Rasul Douglas, Devondre Campbell for a couple of years that, you know, end up becoming breakout stars.
Yeah, I could see them maybe adding something smaller like that. I've brought up a couple Cleveland Browns that, again, they could be an outside one. I know it's not going to be Miles Garrett. It's not going to be Miles Garrett, but Agbo Okoronkwo is a more of a little bit of a speed rusher. He's not having a great year, I'll say that. But again, nobody really is in Cleveland right now, and you're hoping that you bring them over and they maybe can be what they've been in the past. He's a fun speed rusher, a good spin move. And then I think maybe at the corner room, Greg Newsom, who is somebody I know a lot of Packers fans liked out of the draft. He also having a tough season, but maybe you transplant him into a competitive team and you see a little bit of a difference there if they wanted to go at that corner spot. But last but not least, before we get out of here really quick, prediction for Sunday's game, Tyler.
Yeah, I think it's going to lean a little bit on what I see from the injury report today, but I'm leaning Packers win. Defense is too banged up, even if some of those linebackers play and they're not fully healthy, like, just don't feel great about that. No, the defensive structure has been great for them, but at some point those injuries are going to add up. Packers offense is starting to click. All the receivers are back. Even if Wicks is out, who knows what's happening there. I just think there's too many weapons here. I'm expecting a big win.
I love it. And tell us all about the 33rd team and where we can find your work.
Yeah, follow me at the 33rd team. It's the33rdteam.com. It's probably been the most fun I've had writing in quite some time, covering the league as a whole. You can follow me on Twitter at Tyler D. Brook.
Tyler, you're the absolute best. Thanks so much for joining us today. Again, follow him on Twitter, as he mentioned, at Tyler D. Brook. You can find him on the Pack-A-Day podcast every other Monday with myself and Nathan Marzion, and of course on the 33rd team as an NFL analyst. When we come back, we are going to be going to the phone, so get those phone calls into the Nicolay Law fan line at 414-677-1250. This is the Pack-A-Day radio show live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.